in New Orleans round about now. They're gluing the last sequins, threading the last beads, and generally fluffing the plumage for next Tuesday, Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras. That's the day when the Mardi Gras Indians, neighborhood tribes of lavishly costumed marchers, first display their new suits for the parade season. A few years back, Irish filmmaker Moira Tierney was in New Orleans for the Shrove season to spend time filming with the Indians and crew leaders such as Big Chief Kevin and Big Chief Demon Melanson. This time on Culture Files, she tells us about her time with the Mardi Gras Indians.
In the Treme neighbourhood, which is one of the oldest black neighbourhoods in the city, the highway was dropped in the 60s as desegregation was coming on the books as a way of destroying what was a really flourishing centre of commercial activity for the black community, you know, where people go and they could shop and they could hang out and socialise when they couldn't go downtown because it was segregated. So they dropped this massive concrete overpass right down what used to be a beautiful oak-lined avenue. The Mardi Gras Indian community who I was working with on Mardi Gras Day, they came out in and around the neighbourhood surrounding Claiborne Avenue. So it's still a kind of a hub for cultural activities. They come out really early in the morning on Mardi Gras Day, and then they move around their neighbourhoods. They've no fixed route or anything like that. When two tribes meet, they have a mock battle, because the idea is to see which big chief is the prettiest. And there's a whole bunch of kind of ritual movements that go along with it, and they'd have a group of percussionists with them who were singing Mardi Gras Indian songs. And I think a certain amount of the battle is probably like slinging insults as well, you know?
And the design and the costume is a beautiful thing. And you have a lot of people, family and friends, that get together and they help make those costumes and they help make it Mardi Gras what it is.
There's the big chief, the flag boy, the spy boy, and the wild man. And the spy boy is always like a block or two ahead of the rest of the tribe because he's checking to see is there another tribe coming. So if two spy boys kind of spot each other, they can relay the word back to the big chief, who then can decide if he wants to meet that particular tribe or not. Then closer to the big chief, the flag boy carries the standard of the tribe, which is kind of it's a flagpole, it's not a flag, but it's a long pole carrying the name of the tribe or an emblem or some kind of a symbol. And the wild man, I think, is a kind of a free roaming character, but that's roughly the hierarchy. And there's big queens now as well, more and more often. Yeah, I shoot on Super 8 and 16 because they're light, small, portable cameras, and I like the way film looks. I like the grain of the texture. And I also shoot silent. And I really like working on the image and the sound separately. I think you get a really good or really interesting relationship that way. I started shooting by accident, really. Big Chief Kevin Goodman, who's a chief of the Mardi Gras Indians, is a friend of a friend of mine, and he invited us out with him on Mardi Gras Day and let me shoot a bit of Super 8. They're sick of particularly white outsiders coming down and filming, especially since Katrina, so I wanted to show them the footage and get their feedback and see were they happy with the way I shot it and how it looked. There was a big chief called Demon Melanson, and he offered to record Mardi Gras Indian songs to go with the footage. Because they have these really specific call and response songs. So we spent a whole day recording, I would say, 10 of their songs with his tribe in his house. During the period of slavery, the Native Americans would often help the slaves escape, and they had maroon camps in the swamps, like these independent communities. And, you know, there was a lot of intermarriage and there's a lot of connection.
And we do that out of respect to the Native American Indians who, when the slaves was free, you know, they welcomed us on their reservation and gave slaves somewhere to stay. And as a tribute to that, we make these costumes.
That said, it's something else that's not necessarily officially recognized. And I think for some First Nations people or Native Americans, it's startling to see people in the black community in New Orleans making costumes that are kind of based on Plains Indians costumes, so it could be seen as an appropriation.
At first they thought like you know, they thought that we was mocking them with the costumes, but after they found out the real meaning of the costumes and why we do it, then it was like, you know, thumbs up.
And I think tribes in Louisiana have a better handle on what it all represents. And I know that the Mardi Gras Indians have reached out to the local tribes and they've started the discussion, you know. But it's a complex relationship, I would say.
We keep the culture going with our kids, with the generation of kids and grandkids and great-grandkids and their kids. You know, but it's a tradition that's been going on close to 200 years.
It's total grassroots culture, and I think New Orleans being the, segregated place, it always has been. I think the Mardi Gras Indians up until very recently were not well seen by the administration at all. Like, it was quite a struggle. There was one particular big chief called Tootie Montana. And he brokered a kind of a truce between the city and the different tribes, which made the relationship easier, certainly. Like, there was less harassment coming from the city administration. It kind of ties into the way the city has been changing, or has been changed since Katrina, because a lot of elements of black culture are being used to sell New Orleans to tourists, whereas the people who are maintaining this culture are being forced out because of gentrification. Because a lot of the people I was working with, including Big Chief Kevin and Big Chief Damon Melanson, they've had to move out to the suburbs because they can't afford to live in the neighbourhoods that their tradition is representing anymore, you know?
Maura Tierney there with the New Orleans Mardi Gras Indians, and the reporter was Louis Scully.